We're glad to have you along on this Wednesday evening to our midweek prayer meeting. This week it's our missionary prayer meeting. In a short while you're going to see a video of our work in Western Australia, the work of the Lord there under the Free Presbyterian Church and the ministry of Reverend Philip Gardner. You'll see that video, and then afterwards we're asking you to engage in prayer at home and to pray especially for the work there and the needs that there are in that work, and you can lay aside your offerings for that work and then put them in marked for Reverend Philip Gardner support when we return to church again. Let us engage in prayer, please. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we come to thee tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast told us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. We thank thee for the ministry of the word of God right across the globe. We thank thee, O God, for the ministry of the word of God there in Australia, in the western part, and also in other parts in the Eyre Peninsula and in Tasmania as well. We thank thee, O God, for faithful men who are holding forth the word of God. We thank you for a faithful people in these areas that are meeting together under the sound of thy word. We pray especially for Reverend Gardner and his wife and family, that thou wilt bless them in the land of Australia as they labor in the gospel in that city of Perth. We pray that men and women, boys and girls, will be brought to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the encouragements in the work. But Lord, we know that there is much land yet to be possessed. Thou hast a people in that city. And we pray that thou wilt call those people unto thyself. And we pray, Father, that thou wilt bless thy servant's ministry and use him mightily, even to the salvation of precious, never-dying souls. Bless our brethren, too, in the other parts of Australia, Reverend Hall in Tasmania, Reverend Graham down in Port Lincoln and Locke. We pray that thou wilt use these brethren also. Bless their congregations, too. Bless the work of our mission board and the various aspects and avenues of the work across the world. The many demands that there are upon it. We pray that thou wilt meet the financial needs. And, O God, that thou wilt lead the work forward in thy will. Stir our hearts this evening as we view and listen to this video. And we pray that, O God, we may be challenged to pray and to give to the work of God in this particular area. Lead us and guide us tonight. Bless thy word to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. And for God's eternal glory. Amen.
We've been here in Perth now for around 7 years, and it's hard for me to take that in. And prior to coming to Perth, I laboured in the congregation in Carrickfergus in County Antrim. I was there for 7 years, and it's hard for me to take in that we've been here in Perth for the same amount of time than what we were in Carrick. I almost feel that we're only beginning here in Perth, and the Lord has much to do in this place. But we are thankful that the Lord has sustained us during these 7 years. When we first came, Anna entered into year one in primary school, according to the Australian calculation of year one, and she's now finished her first year of high school. Keris is still in primary school, and we're thankful for how the Lord has blessed us in our family. Looking back in the 7 years, there certainly have been difficulties and challenges. One of the greatest challenges personally was my own health. After about a year we were here, I suffered a decline in my health, which took me a considerable amount of time to recover from. But the Lord has certainly given much grace, and I have made a huge progress. I'm able to carry on a full week's schedule, whereas before I was spending a lot of time in bed, a lot of time in pain, but the Lord has been very gracious, and I've known great improvement in my health. My health is in no way a hindrance to me in being able to continue the work of the Lord here. Like any work placed within a city, there are challenges. Perth has a population of about 2 million. And when I first arrived, I struggled for the first months with the sense of the vastness. Of course, many people here talk of Perth being a very small city, but coming from the background that I did, it seemed a huge place. And to me, the great challenge in my mind was, where do you even begin to make an influence in people? And when we were living in Northern Ireland, anywhere you would go for a day out, you know someone, you bump into people in various places. But when we arrived in Perth, we would go for a day out and bump into a lot of people, but we wouldn't know a single soul. And I felt the isolatedness of that almost, despite the fact there were lots of people, there was a loneliness. And this issue of how can we even start to do a work for the Lord in this place. And of course, that challenge still remains. But the Lord has given us contacts with people over these years, and we've been able to form friendships with people. And of course, that is vital in order to see the work of God grow and to be able to have opportunities to witness for the Lord's name. It always amazes me, in a place like Australia, that is so full of secularism, a country that is so atheistic, that the cults and false religions seem to thrive. Everywhere you go, you seem to come across an idea of falsehood that, well, I'd never come across before in Northern Ireland. And so it's interesting that in such an atheistic background that there are so many false notions, false religions. And if the devil is able to deceive people, how much more confidence we have that the Lord is able to open the eyes of blinded sinners. We have every confidence that in this city that the Lord is able to do a mighty work for the Lord's name. And so our congregation is in the northern suburbs of the city. One of the challenges that we have being a city work is that people tend to come here for work, and maybe when that work has finished they move on. And we have had people in the congregation from time to time, and they have been settled, and then their work situation takes them away. And this is one of the challenges that we face, and we long that the Lord will give us a steady congregation, that there will be a core group who will be able to remain while others will have to come and go. In the Lord's Day services, we normally have between 30 and 40 coming to the morning meeting, sometimes more than that. And we have a group of people that are very faithful in their attendance, that never miss. And we have people that, like all our congregations, have and need, people that are very faithful, people that we can rely upon. And we're very thankful to the Lord for those that stick by the work and have so faithfully encouraged us in the work of the Lord. Like any church, it goes through its ups and downs, but the Lord has always given us encouragements by the way. And we're thankful that back in February that our brother Bevis Muller was ordained and installed as a ruling elder in the congregation. That has been a great encouragement to us. We're thankful that the Lord has brought men into the congregation. This is something that we have continually asked the Lord's people in the United Kingdom to pray for. And we ask you to continue to pray, of course, that the Lord will bring other men and women, but men in particular, to come into the congregation, men that will be full of the Holy Ghost, men who are called of God to various positions of leadership within the congregation.
The Bible says in Psalm 67, God be merciful unto us and bless us,
and cause his face to shine upon us,
so
We do have a small Sunday school. That Sunday school is at the moment going through a little bit of change. We've changed the time to after the Lord's Day service, and we've been able to add an additional class. So we have a junior class and then a senior class. And while those are taking place, then we have a class for adults as well, which we're planning will be doctrinal as well as practical, sometimes bringing matters of church history. And so we hope that we can use that opportunity with the adults to bring in things that we normally wouldn't have in a Lord's Day message. On a Friday night, we have a Bible club with the children. Jareth and I conduct that Bible club together, usually taking a week about with the message. And we usually have between 12 and 16 children coming to that Bible club. That has been a growth for us. When we started this, it was very small, sometimes around 4 attending. And so over the years, we're thankful that we have seen some more come in. Most of those children come from the congregation or some contact with the congregation, or come from a neighboring congregation. One of the challenges really in children's work here on a weeknight is getting people to actually send their children, or even see the need to send their children. Sometimes we've been talking to Christians and invited them to bring their children on a Friday evening, and they will say, do not do something like that on a Sunday, and they see no need for something additional on a weeknight evening. In the winter holidays, which here are in July, we have a Bible club for the boys and girls, a holiday Bible club, and we usually do get more children attending that for the days that we have that Bible club. And we always pray that out of the additional number that come, that we'll see some of them come into the weekly meeting. Even at that time, when we have the holiday Bible club and we see a few more coming in, we find that very few, if any of those, are from the neighborhood. So most of them come from homes where there is some Christian influence, whereas we find it exceptionally difficult to get people from the neighborhood to send their children in. Very often they will be thinking, why would we send our children there? We have no interest in that. On the other hand, sometimes it would be pure animosity, that they would be very unwilling because they object to church altogether, never mind seeking to bring the gospel to children. We do have a youth meeting as well later on a Friday evening, and usually there are around 8 young teenagers that attend that meeting. So we used to have an older group, but most of those have passed on now. So at the moment they're young teenagers, or some that are almost teenagers, coming on a Friday night. And again, most of those have a connection in some way to the congregation. But we do ask you to pray for these young people, that the Lord will truly work in their hearts. It's not an easy thing to be a young Christian anywhere, but I think there's a particular difficulty in being a Christian in Australia. Some of these young people are very lonely at school, and they have very little encouragement at school, and there's very much there to discourage them. And so I do ask you to take these young people upon their heart. There would be a true work of grace done in their hearts, and they would be young Daniels, being willing to stand for the Lord as lights in a dark place.
In Genesis, he is the creator and the seed of the woman.
In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb.
In Leviticus, he is the great high priest.
In Numbers, he is the pillar of cloud and fire.
In Deuteronomy, he is the prophet like Moses.
In Joshua, he is our deliverer.
In Judges, he is the judge and lawgiver.
In Ruth, he is the kinsman redeemer.
At most Saturday mornings, some of us go down to the city centre to conduct an outreach there. We have been doing this from almost the time that I arrived here in the city, and that work has had its challenges in relation to the local council there. They've put various restrictions on us, so for a time we were allowed to preach. For a time we also had a book table, a literature table, which was very effective, but the council have restricted both of those, certainly on a weekly basis, so we were not allowed to have those. But we have been able to continue the distribution of gospel literature, and we're thankful that that door at least has remained open. We do try also to engage people in conversation, and we use something called the good person test. And so when we get the opportunity, we ask people, do you think you are a good person? And most people will reply in the affirmative, and we seek to show them then that when we examine ourselves against the law of God, against the Ten Commandments, that we are far from good. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And we have had some encouraging conversations using that method. And again, we would ask you to pray that the Lord will give us opportunities to witness on the streets here in the city. Over the past few years, I've had the opportunity to conduct a Bible study close to the centre of the city in a public housing unit. One of the ladies from our congregation lives in this particular complex, and she very kindly opened up her home for that Bible study. We were able to invite some of her neighbours to come, and it grew a little, and in time we were able to use the community room attached with that particular complex. Back when I was coming to Australia, I was asked the question, will you be trying to reach the poor people in Australia? And this particular place gives us the opportunity to reach people that are needy. And there are a lot of people living in that complex that are alcoholics or recovering alcoholics. There are drug addicts there, a whole raft really of difficulties that people have faced, and some of those that have attended don't have English as their first language, and that has presented an opportunity as well as a challenge. One of those ladies has received a lot of help with English from this lady from our congregation. Bearing in mind that the English is an issue, I try to keep the message as simple linguistically as possible, and hopefully those that are hearing with understanding the message that is being presented there. So, what is repentance? Repentance is a turning around. So, at the end of 2019, our brother, the Reverend Ralph Hall, and myself had the privilege of visiting the Philippines to connect with some Reformed pastors in the Philippines, and that was certainly a great privilege for both Ralph and myself. The mission board back in Northern Ireland invited us to go and to seek to establish a link with these believers there, and we're very thankful for the opportunity that the mission board gave to us at that particular time. We do have contact with one brother by the name of Pastor Dennis. And Pastor Dennis does have a great interest in the Free Church, and we do want to continue that relationship and association with him and encourage him in the work that he is engaged in. And the Reverend Ralph Hall, back when he was in deputation in Northern Ireland, raised the issue of how we hope to send some electronic devices with electronic books to the Philippines, and our brother Reverend Ralph Hall really has overseen that, and we're thankful for all the money that has been raised towards that in Australia from the mission board and some of the churches and individuals in Northern Ireland. We certainly appreciate the generosity of the Lord's people. And those devices have now been sent to the Philippines. And pray that the Lord will bless the materials that are on those devices to help those pastors in the preparation and in the preaching of the word of the Lord. Some of the pastors that attended those meetings were not necessarily themselves Reformed, though they obviously were invited by other Reformed pastors to come. And so even we can pray that these other men will be increased in their understanding of the scriptures of truth. If I could leave one final request, and that really is that the work of the Lord here would go forward. When people think about Australia, I think the first thing that comes to their mind is the kangaroo. The kangaroo doesn't move backwards. If it wants to go to somewhere that is behind it, it has to turn in its tail in order to move around. And so the kangaroo is associated with moving forward. And the works here, it's our desire that they would not just stay stagnant. It's certainly our desire that they would not go backwards, but that they would go forward. And that even I in the ministry, that I would go forward. And I would ask you to pray to that end, that the Lord might undertake for me and the other ministers here in Australia, that we would press toward the mark, and the works here would continue to press forward in the Lord's name and see ground taken for our Lord. The vast majority of the population do live within the city itself, and yet I do feel challenged concerning the needs of the smaller towns, which of course are a huge distance sometimes from the city. But some of these smaller towns have absolutely no faithful evangelical witness of any shade. And we'd certainly ask you to pray that the Lord would give openings to this congregation. So we long to see this congregation further established and consolidated, and yet we must not lose the missionary vision for the city at large and for the state.
Isaiah chapter 43 and the verse 19, it says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And we certainly need a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God upon the work here in Australia. We claim this promise. We pray over it that the Lord will do a new thing here, that there will be rivers in the spiritual desert.